Knicks family, welcome back. Listen, Knicks family, welcome back to the Guard Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Paul Reed. Here with the big bro and my boy, Regular Joe, discussing once again another Knicks victory.
Yes, sir.
Another playoff victory. You know what I'm saying? Game four.
Hey, yo, was I the only one in the house screaming? Was I the only one in there screaming?
No.
No. No. I was loud. Just put it like that. I probably scared the neighbors.
My wife was like, we was outside and we heard you screaming.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, I was so loud in here. Joe came in here like, you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good, Pop. He was like, okay, I just wanted to check on you. And I guess and then at one point he sat and like on my lap and watched it with me and then saw me like react. And I guess that resonated with him a little bit, like, oh, like he likes when they score. Okay, cool.
Like, he was like, looking at you.
This is what this is about. So I guess like now, hopefully he can watch some games with me and react like that when these guys are winning. Hopefully just Knicks fans. But anyway, Knicks games, my bad. Put some lotion on your hands. It sounds like Arizona and July.
Word, listen, John, you did this, did you? Word, you some oil. Listen,
man, I'm a working man. Listen. I just now put cocoa butter on. I ain't got no ash. That's no ash.
Yeah, we ash free over here, baby.
Ash free over here. You know what I'm saying? That's just rough hands. Yeah, that's the Caribbean hand, right, Dre? Tell him about it. You know what I'm saying?
I got the Uncle Lee.
Slap somebody in one of these. It's over. Bap. Anyway, speaking of slap, the Knicks and the Cavaliers. The Knicks handed a couple slaps outside of the beginning of the third quarter. This game was pretty much ours the entire time. Jose Garcia says Mitch MVP of the season so far. It depends on
what. Yo, Josh, you said the same thing earlier, yo.
Who, me?
You said the same thing earlier. Didn't you say something about that along those lines?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You said we wouldn't be winning these games if it wasn't for Mitch?
We wouldn't. Absolutely not. I mean,
Mitch and Hartenstein was my key.
Yeah, those rebounds, bro. Like, you can't substitute that. Like, even JB Bickerstaff after the game said, we got to figure out how to keep these guys off the boards. And I mean, it's not like, I mean, Josh Hart did have 7 rebounds and 5 of them was defensive rebounds. So like, you know, I'm sure like it would have helped if they had a little bit more help on the rebound. But you know, Mitchell Robinson having I think he had 11 rebounds tonight. And 7 of those were offensive.
Yeah, you know what their problem is though?
Who, Cleveland?
Cleveland. Like, it's a massive problem. So Mobley and Allen are good rebounders. Specifically Allen. Mm-hmm. Right? Even though they haven't been good rebounders in this series. Allen had 4 rebounds tonight. Mm-hmm. Mobley had 7. The problem really is though that they have small guards who don't really rebound that great.
Right.
And then their wings are not good rebounders. So if you look at the way the Knicks are built, right? Like Quickly, Barrett, Grimes, mm-hmm. Hart are all like really good wing rebounders from the wing position.
Right.
So we get our bigs get a lot of support.
Yeah, that's true.
From our guards. Like, they don't really have any support.
And honestly, we got to give credit to Tibbs for that. Like, let's really be honest. Like, that's a scheme thing. These guys didn't all just come in rebounding.
I agree to an extent. And I'm going to tell you why.
Outside of Hart.
No. Yeah, but hear me out. Grimes was an excellent rebounder in college. Like, his coach had a rule. If you don't rebound, you don't play. He didn't care what position you played. So, I quickly been a pretty good rebounder. That might be a Tibbs thing. I don't know. I don't know what type of rebounder he was at Kentucky. But I know that, and Barrett's just good. He's just big. Naturally, like, and he's big, and he's in the paint a lot. So he's a solid rebounder too.
But coach could be telling RJ, listen, leak on those fast breaks. You know what I'm saying? But
that's
not
true.
You know, I mean, I do think there's a little bit to it because RJ could just be leaking.
100%. 100%.
As a guard, he definitely could be leaking. Guard/wing, he definitely could be leaking. But I know for a fact that there's a scheme there that says, listen, Mitch can put a body on these guys. You guys just help him rebound. We'll get the rebound. Finish the defensive play. You know, you talk all the time about finishing the defensive
play. Absolutely.
So I know that's definitely part of their scheme. But that's definitely something that they struggled with tonight, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They could not keep us off the board. In fact, the rebounding battle went...
It wasn't pretty.
47-33?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, bro.
Come on, you get out-rebounded by 14, man. I'm looking at their stats now. Caris LeVert had the most rebounds for that team.
He had nine. Evan, but Cap, Mobley, you want to hear that? You see the crazy number, though?
What's the crazy number?
7 offensive rebounds for Cleveland. 17 offensive rebounds for the Knicks.
Yeah, it's an extra 10 right
there. We talked about before the series started. We talked about, that's why I mentioned Hartenstein and Robinson when we talked about who are the most important players in the series, because the Knicks all season have won the possession battle. And in this series, they've dominated the possession battle. I didn't even look to see how many shots Cleveland got versus the Knicks, but I'm sure we got more shots.
84 we got. They got 77.
So 77. Like, bro, it's hard to win when the other team is just pounding you like that. Mm-hmm. And they shoot 10 more free throws than you.
Right, exactly.
And we hit more threes than them.
You do me a favor, don't tell me how to do my shit for me.
Oh, my bad.
But here's the stats right here. So, just looking at the rebounding right here, Mitchell Robinson with 11. I mean, RJ Barrett didn't rebound well today, or Julius Randle, which is rare. It's rare that you get 4 rebounds out of both of them together. That's like absolutely rare, especially Julius. I don't know what the hell was up with Julius today. I mean, he hasn't been shooting well this series, but today he just was not there mentally.
Yeah, there's no effort tonight, bro.
I was looking at him one play, and I was like, he looked like he don't even want to be there.
Right. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. There was a few plays where I think Brunson and Hart just didn't like look them off completely. And I think after that, he kind of like...
They looked him off?
Yeah. Hart for sure.
Was that the play when he just walked to the corner?
He was in the corner the entire time and was wide open. And Hart like did one of his coast to coast with like 3 people on him and missed. Julius was pissed off at that play.
I know there was another play in the third. I only know it because I just rewatched the third, where he had Jetty on him and he was trying to post up, but Allen was like kind of coming from the backside.
Yeah, helping him out.
Yeah, so they couldn't lob it to him. Mm. And you kind of see him like the boss got reversed to the other side of the court, and he just kind of like strolled to the corner. Like, and it's just like, bro, you gotta keep your head in the game, man.
I can almost guarantee that he won't have another game like that.
They tried to get him the ball on that play.
They tried all game to get him involved. It was weird because even Benji Ritholtz, shout out to Benji, he tweeted out, he said there's just a few. What you need, Dre?
Scroll a little bit so I can see Obi's numbers, because, you know, that's who, of course.
Obi didn't play great. I mean, so he played very well, but the numbers don't show it.
Right.
He did have 5 offensive rebounds, though.
But Benji Ritholtz had talked about during the game how the ISO with Mobley is not working.
Like, it's not working.
To stop doing it.
Mobley's too good, bro.
He's too good on the perimeter, especially on the big. You know what I mean? Like, so he kept trying it, the jab step, the step back into the three, and it just didn't work. It didn't work, and he kept trying it. And after about the third time, I said, Julius doesn't want to play today. Like, I didn't see him drive to the basket. Like, there was a lot of...
You need a therapy session, bro.
I don't know what happened, but... This cannot happen in the playoffs. I don't give a goddamn what happened, why you're upset, who said something to you. this is the playoffs. This is not.
You like gotta keep playing,
team.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like this is you're the leader. You're one of the leaders of the team. You can't do this. You can't stop.
If you look at what happened to us in Atlanta that year, it was almost like they felt like they couldn't, they didn't have any other options, so they had to leave them in, and that started. And that's what happened. Like we got to a situation where it's like, all right, this is it. This is our game plan.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the problem. Like you can't. I don't know. I'm sure Julius will bounce back next game. I'm not worried about him having two games like that.
So can I say one thing that
Real quick, let me hold that thought for a second. Mm-hmm. Toon said it a while ago. He said, "Where was this all season coming from, Mitch?" And at the post game, mm-hmm. they asked Mitch. They said, "Is this playoff Mitch that we seeing?" It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's almost basically the two, right? You saw them ask him that.
Yeah, I saw.
They said, "Is this playoff Mitch?" Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. He was sitting there with RJ. He was like, "Is this mm-hmm. playoff Mitch?"
Right.
And I thought that was interesting. So basically, what Toon was saying, like, where was this all season? And I feel like he was hurt and different things and. I don't know. I think it's something about the playoffs. He turning up.
But I feel like he's had a lot of huge games this season, no?
No, I think he did.
The last month of the season, though, Hartenstein was by far the better center, though. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, I think what I'm surprised about this series with Mitch is seeing how dominant he is with two bigs.
Dominant, bro.
Like, dominant. And
they asked him the first time, like, that he was like, "You see me coming, they see me in there, they're getting a little frightened or threatened." What he said,
he's like, "They look shook,
they were shook." And I was like, kind of like, "Yo, chill, because we want to chill." I was like, "Don't get him hyped."
And he came back in and backed it up. He came right
back. Before we move on from Julius, right, and all his negativity, so we get some positive stuff, we did win.
Yeah,
before we move on from Julius, though, I don't know if you guys seen Tibbs talk after the game.
Nah. No, I didn't see it yet. No.
So Tibbs said a lot of things after the game, but one thing stuck out to me. He said about Julius. He said a lot of people wouldn't be playing if they were him.
Hmm.
So I don't know what that means. I don't even think it's that. I'm thinking. Well, it could be that, Dre. Actually, who knows, right? But I'm thinking maybe is this ankle still a lingering thing, or is that fall in game two a thing? Or is Tibbs just covering for his guy, right? But I don't think Tibbs would just say that. Like Tibbs literally just said a lot of guys wouldn't be playing if they were him right now, and I think it has something to do with. I think it was health related.
Jose says Julius was at 90% in health. 90% health in game one and has regressed. He's probably at 75%. He's frustrated and he needs to sit game five. I don't see, unless he can't go, I don't see him sitting.
No, he's not.
That's not something I don't see Julius ever doing, ever.
Good news is we got 2 days off. I mean, the initial injury was the ankle.
That's what I thought that was, ankle injury.
And then he had the crazy fall in game two.
On his back when Jared Allen had fouled him, that hard foul. I don't know, man.
What did he say to y'all about Julius not playing and us still pulling out a victory like that and like a good win? It's not like by the skin of our teeth type of win either. You know, it's
we've gotten one good half from Julius in this series and we're up 3-1. Think about that, y'all.
Yeah. And I mean,
this is a long way from the We Here season.
Right. And I had asked you about this earlier, Joe. Like, what does this say to the people who are like, all right, well, it's time to move RJ. We can build around Julius and Brunson. Well, if this is the Julius that you're gonna get in the playoffs, and let's keep it real. Every game that he's ever played in the playoffs yet, he hasn't really showed us he can be Julius. If we're really being honest.
Yeah, absolutely right.
If we're really being honest.
We could sit here and try to blame it on a number of things that we don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. All I know is what I see when I watch him on the court, and it's not pretty.
It's not.
No. Yeah, so I don't know if he's hurt. I almost hope that he's hurt and that this is not like just who he's going to be.
in the playoffs, right?
This mental, is not something mental, that, right, he's always talking about his mental, so I hope it's not that.
Yeah, I hope that there's something in there. You know what I'm saying? I just really hope that, like, the same way for RJ, it's good to see RJ doing this. It's really about the fact that it's in the playoffs. Like, we've seen RJ have good games. We've seen Julius have good games. The thing is that shout out to King in the chat.
That's a problem, hey, RJ.
He hates to see us smiling. But anyway, you know. Yeah. One man said, I can't wait till y'all hurt a man. Yo, that is hilarious.
Yo, I tell you this, King. If we get out of this series, well, I don't know. Let's see how this Bucks.
Don't even do it.
Let's see how this Bucks Heat series shakes out.
Yeah, bro. Don't talk serious.
I guess what I'm trying to say, though, hold on, is that there are very few ways that the remainder of this postseason could go that would have me mad and hurt.
There you go. I'm sorry. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say right here. If we got one more game, if we win one more game in this playoff series, well, just in the rest of the playoffs, let's just say it. If we win one more game, there's nothing for us to be upset about. Literally. If we lose to the Bucks next round, who's upset about?
Or Miami? Miami?
Nah, if we lose to Miami, I'll be upset.
If we lose to Miami, I'm upset. Because I think
that's why I said there's very that's why I said there's very few avenues.
There's very few avenues. There's very few avenues. If the Miami Heat can actually, they're up 2-1. Giannis will play next game. There's no way he's gonna miss next game. If the Miami Heat somehow beat the Milwaukee Bucks and we beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, there's a high chance that this team could be in the Eastern Conference final. That's all I'll say.
Let me tell you something. Like you guys said, as far as all expectations, nobody.
I really wish you didn't say that.
Yo, listen, and I didn't want to say it, but I'm just saying, if we're really talking about percentages here, we have a higher percentage chance of beating Miami than we do the Bucks. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely, definitely.
Go ahead, Dre. What were you saying?
I just think that's
especially the Heat without Tyler Herro.
Bang.
Go ahead, Dre. Wait, they don't got him?
Nah, he's hurt. Remember, he broke his hand.
Oh, that's it.
He's out. I mean,
anyway,
he'll probably try to come back versus us.
They winning. I hope he does with his messed up hand. But I just think that the Knicks already surpassed expectations. Up 3-1.
That's
100%.
There you go.
I just think that, like, the Knicks could do no wrong. You see, what's his name did a complete about face. Mm-hmm. Hey, kind of. What's his name? Stephen A. You know what I mean? I just love hearing everybody talk positive about the Knicks now. Like, it really is incredible. I'm like, wow. I didn't know everybody was so high on the Knicks.
All those people are biding their time.
It's weird, bro.
All those people are positive.
They hear Kendrick Perkins talking positive about the Knicks. I'm like.
But Perk's been talking positive about the Knicks.
Yeah, I was about to say, Kendrick, I give him the props because he's been saying
this. But just in general, not that it's just him, but just like him on ESPN talking positive, I'm like. I feel like they've just been bypassing the Knicks. Nobody would talk about the Knicks after a win. But guys,
they're just biding their time. They're waiting for something bad to happen.
Yeah.
So they could clown us, man.
Yeah, I told you.
Listen.
But we still beat expectations.
Guaranteed.
95%.
Whenever our season ends, if it doesn't end with the championship, which is a high chance that we won't end with the championship, let's be real. I don't know who's coming out the West, but that would be a big feat. Right. If our season ends without a championship, I guarantee you on some media network, James Dolan's name will be mentioned. And that just goes to show how much they know about what the hell they're talking about. They're gonna go.
After we won game one in Cleveland, how much the ticket prices was that you that sent that out?
It jumped. Yeah, it jumped crazy.
It jumped crazy. And so, like, they said the Knicks as a losing team was already still the highest the highest revenue team in the NBA, us and the Lakers. Yes.
Right.
And we in the playoffs winning?
Crazy, man.
Forget it. Forget
it's crazy.
I'm telling you, I'm downtown. I'm on 33rd Street. Just like the buzz is just, it's crazy out there.
Jelani says the term is bandwagoners. Y'all can say it. We all grown here. I'm just saying. That's fact. That's fact. Next take, baby. That's definitely what it is. Don't worry. Izzy says peace and abundance to Apollo, Joe, and Dre. Peace, my guy. Peace.
Peace, Scott.
Yes, sir. Peace. So yeah, man. Knicks beat the Cavaliers. Let's just get into the numbers.
Let's get into the numbers
real quick. Let's start with RJ Barrett. Because why not, right?
Because he's at the top.
I mean, sure. He's usually at the top because that's just how
I'm surprised what I'm seeing from him. I'll be honest with you.
Right. And this is the thing about RJ. I've noticed that now I'm scared. This what I've noticed does scare me because RJ Barrett plays well at home. The crowd loves RJ more than they love Julius, and somehow more than they love Jalen Brunson.
About because he's our guy, bro.
He's our guy, homegrown, yeah. Drafted. So when he's in the garden, all he has to do is make one shot. You know what I'm saying? And early tonight, last game, it was the same kind of thing. It was the same thing. What's up, Dre?
Let me see the numbers. I can't see what the thing on the top. I want to see what the
what's
the my bad. Yeah, what the stats are. I know the plus minus on the front right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because you getting on my nerves.
Go down a little bit.
Yeah, you just getting on my nerves.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There we go.
You good?
We can see OB and we see the number.
You see both right there, right?
You can't expand that thing a little bit, or that's just shut up. I'm going.
Yo, Dre, what else you need, bro?
Yo, shut up, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, hold on.
I just wanted to see it. Because while you were talking,
everybody in the chat, ask Dre what else he needs. Can y'all ask Dre in the chat?
Dre need a second screen is what he needs.
I want to. It remind me of this film. I don't want to get into it, but there was a movie like that. He kept asking for stuff from the store. She was like, "Is there anything else you need?" Because she said, "I could buy the whole store, you know."
Well, I hit him with the and then.
My bad.
So anyway, RJ Barrett, he tends to play well at home, and
50%
from the field. I mean, he really shot 9 for 12 from.
If you take away all that,
take away all the threes. He was 0 for 6.
He's got to stop with the threes. He's got to stop.
He can't. He can't. He can't stop, bro.
I don't want him to stop with the threes because once he becomes hesitant shooting the three, that's when our whole offense will crumble. You know what I'm saying?
Did you hear what Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy said?
Nah, what they said.
The last game they talked about like Randall missing threes, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, Mike Breen was like, if you're struggling from three, you know what I mean? Shouldn't you just stop shooting them? And both guys, coaches, NBA coaches, were like, no, if you're open, you got to shoot it. If you don't shoot it, it destroys your offense. You got to shoot it, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just pass up on it every single time. That might be the best shot available.
I mean, and let's be real.
You got to take it.
Let's be real. Like, Julius didn't shoot it well tonight. Hart didn't shoot it well. Quickly didn't make one either. You have to take the shots. And that's my only frustration with guys like Grimes sometimes is that I don't give a damn that he misses any of the shots. I want you to take those shots. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, that's something that every coach will encourage, especially from his shooters. Like, shoot the ball. There was RJ once shot 40% from the three-point line. Do we ever think that'll happen again? I highly doubt it. But let's be real. At least we know he's capable of shooting in the high 30s or mid to high 30s if he needs to, once he gets it figured out. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully at that point, his shot selection is a lot better so that the percentage just looks better from three. But overall, great game from RJ. 26 points, 1 block, 1 assist, 2 rebounds. Like I said, 0 for 6 from 3, and he was uncharacteristically bad tonight from the free throw line, 8 of 13. Which, you know, it sounds weird to say uncharacteristic because he's not a great 3-point shooter, free throw shooter, but 8 of 13 is. He's been a lot better from the free throw line as of recent. And as you can see, looks like he's the only one that attempted to really get to the free throw line and can get to the free throw line.
He was a monster today, bro.
Yeah. You just got to love the growth from RJ. He still got a lot more to grow. You know what I mean? Like, but I just want to continue being patient with that kid. That's just my point of view. That's just me. How y'all feel about how RJ played tonight?
I tell you how I feel. I like him when he goes to the basket. I just like when he attacks the basket, especially when he makes those layups. I just think that's the strongest point of his game. Offensively, I think he's a strong dude. He looks heavy and he looks slow, but somehow he's getting past these dudes. And when he goes to the basket, it's like they can't stop him. I don't care if they block it, because a lot of times when you go to the basket, you're picking up fouls. A lot of these dudes will have 4 fouls. They have 5 fouls. Who was that fouled out on Cleveland?
Oh. Dre, I love that you mentioned that, because RJ Barrett forced Mobley into his fourth, fifth, and sixth foul. Right. That was all RJ.
There was one point where I was like, that was a smart take, because it wasn't like he had the lane or nothing like that, but he kept going. And you get these dudes in foul trouble when you go to the basket. What's that? You six fouls?
Six fouls.
Yeah. Darius had 4, Donovan Mitchell had 4, and then when these teams get in, you know how it is when you play ball, dudes start playing like they don't want to foul you anymore. Go to the basket, and that's what I love. I think it's a strong point of his game. I'm glad that he had it. He's even though he's 0 for 6, and he still had that kind of impact, because you guys always talk about his impact even though he's not scoring well. But today he scored better, and he did the other intangibles. I can't see his numbers. What, 5 for 18? Yo, Josh, you said that was hot, but that's another story. I'm gonna let Joe go see what he
took
from RJ.
You know what's crazy though about RJ's game? Like, so one thing I notice is, so there's certain shots that you see him shoot and you hate it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to shoot the open threes. He's got to let that shit fly. But the one shot that he takes and he's seemingly like eliminated that shit from his game is that stupid fadeaway. From like 12 feet that he shoots, like, I think they said he shoots like 30 something percent on that shot.
He actually made one of them today.
He made one today, but for the most part, like, it's not a huge part of his diet right now.
Right.
And I think that helps him a lot, because it just isn't a good shot for him.
Right.
So what I'm seeing from him now is that it seems like he recognizes his limitations. Mm-hmm. And when he gets himself in situations, like even like game 3 and 4 today, when he gets himself in situations where normally you're thinking to yourself as a person watching that he's going to force up like some nonsense, he just kicks it out, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just kicks it out.
Yeah.
And that's the guy we need though, bro.
That's the growth we want to see.
That's the guy that this team needs. If he's that guy, he could actually fit into this Knicks offense, and there won't be a question about whether he's a fit or not. I mean, and the three has to start falling at some point too.
For sure.
But like the playmaking, he only had 1 assist today, but he made the right passes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Knicks fans have been like begging from this guy. Like,
Jose.
Yeah, man. I good game from RJ though. Monster game.
Yeah, shout out to RJ, 26 points, I think. What is it, 26 points tonight? 26 points tonight. Jose says, what if RJ hits foul shots and threes? He could be an all-star next year if he does. I'm no longer worried about RJ being an all-star.
Me either.
I think he needs to start worried about being an all-star, because I think that's probably why his game has turned out the way it has. Because I think he's starting to, he at some point he was trying to skip steps to become an all-star. And I think that's something that he's, because of this team's format now and where we are, it's forced him to have to go back and work on those things that he skipped steps on. So, sure, if he works on all of those things, I think he can be an all-star. But I think it needs to not be a focus for him anymore, especially seeing what guys like, once Jalen Brunson doesn't, you know, get snuffed in the All-Star game, I think RJ Barrett should really chill out on like what that even means. You know what I'm saying? Just go out there and play basketball.
Because that was the biggest
snuff. Go play ball, yeah.
Yeah, huge snuff. This, I mean, I almost can see somehow Jalen Brunson cracking that All NBA team. Somehow.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard, but I think the way he plays, man, it's kind of like, how can you really keep him out of it? Like, this, it's going to be very, very extremely difficult. But if you put him, like, you know, I just want to see him against the other guards in the league.
Come on, bro.
How that plays out.
Chase Stacks, I don't know how old you are, but were you who you are now when you were 22? Give me a break, bro.
Oh, he says, isn't RJ who he is at this point? I mean, nah. Nah, absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? And first of all, nobody said RJ was going to be a superstar, ever. Ever. Superstar was not the word I used.
Well, some people did. So then
what's he going to be if he's not going to be? He's just going to be a better player.
Nah, the point is to just be a good player for your team. All those accolades don't mean shit to me. If you're not winning, I don't care how many All-Star appearances you have. If you can't win, like Darius Garland has 2 All-Star appearances. He hasn't won a playoff series yet. What would you rather? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, yeah, for sure, we would want to see RJ turn out to be an All-Star. He got drafted 3rd. But as I always say, that's not RJ's fault that he got drafted 3rd. That draft sucked. RJ had to get picked 3rd that draft. There's a lot of guys, if we redraft that draft right now and even add in some previous end drafts after that, like, is RJ really going 3rd? Absolutely not.
You know, probably, what I'm saying? I would say that he probably would go 4th. Garland, I think Garland goes 1st. Garland goes 3rd, I'm sorry.
I still think there's a few teams who pick up DeAndre Hunter before RJ.
That's possible.
I still think there's a few teams that would pick RJ. And RJ's easily 5th right there.
Yeah, RJ definitely goes 4 or 5.
Yeah.
If you redraft.
Right. And like I said, it's not his fault where he's drafted. That is on the franchise. So I don't blame RJ for that. I think RJ needs to be the best player RJ can be. And if that's being a 20-point pick, first of all, let's be honest. How hard is it for someone to score 20 points being the 3rd scorer on their team?
Like, there's not that many.
I don't think that even happens. Like, no one even looks at that. Everybody looks at all of the negatives about RJ. But let's be real. Like, RJ averaged 19.6 points per game this year as the 3rd guy on his team. Like, that's not impressive on an inefficient player. Like, hella inefficient. I'm keeping RJ as my third best player. You know why? Because if he's your 3rd best player, then that better mean that those first 2 guys are that good. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. That's just me. I think there's a lot to RJ's game that he can improve on, without a doubt. But I don't know.
If I could get my hands on somebody who scored that 19 or 20 a little bit more efficiently, though.
Absolutely.
And plays a little bit better defense, I would strongly consider it.
Let's be honest.
You're talking about homeboy from Boston. We know you're
talking about a guy who is more efficient and plays better defense.
I could be talking about a lot of guys.
Like I said, if there is a guy who can average what RJ's averaging efficiently, 20 points per game efficiently, and be a better defender than RJ, that team's not letting him up. He's staying on that team.
He might want to leave that team.
Good luck with that. When have we ever been that lucky, y'all? Let's be real.
Yo, man, see, stop living in the past, man. It's a new day, Cap. It's a new day, man.
Stop. See, that day. That's the Nick shit right there. That's that.
That's that Nick shit. You still don't think we can have nice things, bro?
That's not true. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if I'm an NBA franchise and I have a guy that's better, If I have a guy that is better than RJ Barrett offensively and defensively, why am I trading for RJ Barrett? That's all I'm saying.
Because they're not happy there. They demanded a trade. Your guy demanded a trade.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, sure. But then now we got to beat out every other NBA team for this one star.
The Cavs did it.
Bro, we've gone through this since 2010 when LeBron said he wasn't coming here. It's not about any of that. I get it. But what I'm telling you is that package is going to be very, very hard to make. If you talk about a guy that's better than RJ and plays better defense than RJ and wants to come to New York, like, you're asking for a whole lot in one bag, bro.
All right. Let's move on, man.
Yeah, thank you.
This is not going well.
It's not going well. All right, so let's talk about the only man that we really can give a lot of credit to tonight. And that's Jalen.
Only?
I mean,
there's a lot of guys tonight, Kat.
There's a lot of guys to give credit to, without a doubt. But let's be real. Without Jalen Brunson, this team is not anywhere in any of these games.
Yo, Jalen played 42 minutes, almost 43 minutes.
If Jalen is not in any of these games, we're not winning. That's it. Like, a lot of unsung heroes in those other games, great plays by those other guys. But let's be real, if it wasn't Jalen Brunson, it's pretty much over for us. Jalen Brunson tonight, 11-22 from the field, 5-9 from three, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 turnovers, which is something that you don't want to see from Jalen, that you don't usually see from Jalen either.
This is a hard team to not turn it over against, bro.
Right. You're talking about
like this super like long pause. And yeah, bro, it's a lot. That's all I'm saying. It's hard. They led the league in forced turnovers. So.
Right. I mean, and he's being guarded by Okoro half the damn time. Like, let's be real. Like, so it's not like he's being guarded by Garland out there. Because if he's being guarded by Garland and you got 4 turnovers. It's
barbecue chicken.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Like,
even though Garland is actually a much better defender than what we think.
For sure. But Jalen Brunson is bullying his ass, if we're really being honest. Yeah,
the weak link, though, is really Donovan Mitchell. That's the switch that the Knicks are trying to get every time.
Yeah. Yes. And they have been getting it, and he's been torching them.
So can we talk about that?
Talk about it.
I was just going to say that. We just got on Jalen. I was just going to say
that. Let's talk about how they've been getting it, though.
Yeah.
So earlier in the series, they were using Mitch and like Hartenstein a lot to screen. But the problem with that is like Mobley and Allen are really like good coming out on guard.
It's too long. Yeah.
So, and when like they were coming out on the blitz, Jalen would like pass to Mitchell Robinson. And, you know, Mitch is not an instinctual passer. So it was kind of like he would catch it in the roll, and like there would be a guy there, and then like he would hesitate, he wouldn't know what to do with it. So what Tibbs has done, because Tibbs coach, y'all.
He's a coach.
What Tibbs has done is he's removed his big man from that pick and roll now. And now the pick and roll is a guard / wing. So you've seen Josh Hart a lot setting screens. You see quickly setting screens a lot. You see RJ setting screens. Yep. So when they go to blitz JB now, and he passes to whoever that roller is, mm-hmm. Now you got a guy who's used to handling the ball, making a pass or a decision to drive to the basket. Mm-hmm. Like Josh Hart made some great plays tonight in that little short roll. Like that, and on top of that, you're getting a switch on Brunson. If he doesn't have to give it up, if the ball doesn't get out of his hands, you get a switch on Brunson. And now he's got a guard on him instead of having Mobley or Allen on him. Like, right. And the Knicks are not going to go away from that. So Cleveland got to figure something out.
The Knicks have figured something out, man. Like, and that's very, very scary for the Cavs. And then when you're doing that, you still got Mitch on the block, who you can always throw the alley to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Or just shoot the ball.
He's going to grab the rebound. Right. Yeah. Like, he's just there waiting for the... bro, like, it's very Jose says Tibbs made a good adjustment. JB off the pick and roll was passing to RJ of double. He's passing whoever was open.
Whoever the screener was.
Yeah, whoever the screener was. And that was something that scared me in game two. Because if you remember, there was a few plays where Jalen Brunson could not get, he would get doubled, and it was like the trap of the century. Like, he could not get past it. Same thing with Quickly. They trapped him so bad, he had to run all the way to the half-court line, and they still trapped him there.
Yeah, that's because they were trapping with the big, though.
Right.
But the Knicks have eliminated the big from the play completely.
Exactly. Now they got the guards doing it. Now you got the guards running that pick and roll. So that's changed up everything. Like I said, that was the adjustment that needed to be made. That was the key adjustment made in this series, on our side, offensively. That really helped it. And, also they were going to, like you had mentioned, stop hiding Jalen. They still do a little bit of hiding. But
it depends, though. They don't really hide him on Karis, though.
They hide him on Okoro. They not.
Yeah, so, like, if Okoro or Jetty are out there, then they'll hide him. Right. But when Karis is in, the Knicks are basically like, yo, bro, you got to go hold your own.
And he's not someone who backs down to a challenge, thank God.
I mean, he sure as shit backed down to start that third quarter.
I don't know what the hell it was.
He was so bad, yo.
No. Let's be real.
And Julius was really bad in the backside, too.
Julius and Jalen Brunson alone in the beginning, let's say the first 8 minutes of that third quarter.
They're so bad.
Atrocious defensively. I don't know how we went up. What are we going to the half? Up 12? Up 10? Up 10 at the half.
Up 9, I think. It's either 9. It was 9 or 10.
It was 9 or 10 at the half. I think it might have been 9. You're right. I think it might
have been 9. It was 9. Yeah.
Up 9 at the half.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It was 9.
And then all of a sudden you look up, and then they're up 1. And I'm like, please take Julius out of the game. Just take him out. Julius needs to sit. He has to sit. Please just sit him. Because he does not want to play tonight. I don't know. And it was a play where Darius Garland came down. He hit Jalen Brunson with a move. He barely hit Jalen Brunson with a move. Jalen Brunson literally made him go
Olé
to the basket.
Like, he said that on the thing. He said sideways. He was like, yo, Van Gundy said it.
Van Gundy,
he was like, no, he stood and gave him the lane. He was like, you're putting too much pressure on your bigs when you do that. But after that, he didn't do that again.
It was just weird because not only did he let him go, like, he gave him right, which would be Garland's left. But then he dropped and almost, like, gave him the entire lane instead of just...
Bro, he, like, opened it up, like, here.
Side. Yeah,
but, like, he was that's, like, I'm like, that's got to be a scheme, right?
But it didn't. Nah, that wasn't no scheme.
I think he probably tried to funnel him to Mitch.
Maybe that's what he was doing, but Mitch was out of the play.
Mitch was out of the play.
Right, and then nobody was there to help.
Then Julius was there. That Julius was the other guy. That was what it was. And when Julius wasn't there, that's when they called the timeout. They were like, yo, something has to stop. Like, something got to stop. I don't know what.
So, can we talk about what stopped?
Yes.
Because you've all been waiting for this, right? Mm-hmm. So with 3:32, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I get it right. Yes, with 3:32, what's my man's name? Hartenstein checks into the game.
Mm-hmm.
3:32, what? In the
third.
Oh, okay.
For Julius.
For Mitch.
Mitch.
Yeah. He enters the game for Mitchell Robinson with 3:32. The very first defensive possession, right? Because I think RJ hit a free throw. Cavs called timeout. With 3:13 in the third, he had the block on Okoro on the dunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything changed with the defense when he came in. A minute later, at 2:32, quickly checks in for Barrett. From 3:32 to 10:26, I believe, in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
The Cavs scored 5 points.
It's not gonna work.
That was not a coincidence. And the basket that they did have, it, when quickly checked in, they had 71 already. So they didn't score 72, 73, and 74 until that 10:26 mark.
Right.
That was an and-one by Karis off that broken play.
Yes, yeah.
So it took them a broken play for them to score. Mm-hmm. And when from 3:32 when Hartenstein checked in, the Cavs only scored 24 more points.
And then that's when, you know, he had two blocks in that stretch, right? Hartenstein, yep. He had two blocks in that stretch.
The second block was set up by no other than Emmanuel Quickly.
Emmanuel Quickly, who played amazing defense on Jared Allen. First of all,
how's he playing great defense on Jared Allen?
This is exactly what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm gonna be honest.
It's just a kid. He just wants it. That's my point.
It wasn't even like he was guarding him one on one though. It was like a rotation play.
Yeah.
Where Allen Hartenstein went to help because Allen did a dribble handoff to Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So Hartenstein stepped up to impede Mitchell, and then Mitchell dumped it off to Allen, and that's when Quickly. Always where he's supposed to be. We talk about this shit all the time. How incredible he is in his rotations. Always on time. Always thinking ahead. He steps in to get in front of Allen, which allowed Hartenstein to get back into the play for the block. That kid is just a winner, bro. Like, no points tonight, but he changed that game along with Hartenstein.
Right, and
I love it. First of all,
all right, I'm not gonna go there. Positivity today. Positivity.
Why not go there? Come on, it's the podcast. We gotta get it down.
No. We
gotta get it recorded.
I just need to see a better. I just need to see a better version of Emmanuel Quickly. I'm surprised. We are up 3-1 in this series.
I was gonna say we haven't put together a great game yet.
We haven't had a great game from Emmanuel Quickly yet, at all. Like literally, not one good game from him.
And we had one good half. From our all-star.
Julius Randle.
Right? Julius.
So, I just think that there's so many points to this game where you can look at it and be like, this is why we won. I mean, if you don't throw in Josh Hart to that equation.
Like, oh, we were getting there.
You're bugging. Josh Hart tonight starts for Quentin Grimes. And the dude just immediately makes an impact. You know what I'm saying? Like he's out there on Donovan Mitchell. We showed the numbers of Donovan Mitchell. What are the numbers again for Donovan Mitchell? 5 of 18 from the field, 0 of 4 from three. Zero.
But that's zero. The scheme though. No matter what, that's the scheme.
You know what? I want to do something. I need to see the shots
that
Donovan Mitchell took tonight. Because I think
you gonna YouTube that, see the shots that Donovan Mitchell missed?
No, I'm not going to YouTube.
Well, all of his shots.
I'm looking at all 18 right now because I need to see who was guarding him and you know, just how this fared out. So here we go. Just looking Josh at a lot of... This is Josh early Barrett, in the game. First person you got on Donovan Mitchell, of course, Donovan is who? Josh Hart. Left-handed flips it up. He makes it.
That's tough shot, though.
Tough shot. Every shot tough he shot. Takes.
Make it work for it. That's all.
5 of 18. Here you go. Another good shot right there. Boom. But he misses. He also wasn't playing well in the Garden tonight. I don't know what that was for Julius.
Yeah, you know, your boy Julius.
That was kind of part of what you saw tonight. But he go. Oh.
Wow. Yo, so historically, I guess historically, he always has one clunker. In a series, yeah. He always has like one really bad game. Great defense right there by McBride. Ridiculous defense by Deuce,
make
bro.
Make him work, that's all.
Yo, the 5 minutes that Deuce played were like the best 5 minute contribution I've ever seen in my life, yeah. And he had the audacity to hit a three.
Another contest. Look at Josh Hart getting around that screen. He's just going to make you work before you even get the ball.
fires the jumper. It's good.
Good shot. That's a good shot. You got to make that shot every game. That tough shot, you got to make every look. Another one. That was not a good shot. Especially at that point.
You know what I like about games like this?
Give me that. Look at Josh right on.
Just for Donovan.
What?
I feel like Donovan Mitchell going to go to the next game and really try, and he might do too much.
Yeah. And then
that's I'm hoping to have that pans out.
Played him right out of the game.
Right.
And then oh Lord,
Jesus! Right. I'm alive.
Mitchell, a three-pointer.
Yeah, but that should sound like it hurt.
Yeah, man. Like it's just crazy, bro. Like it's just looking at his defense. On this guy, it's just amazing. Like, you know, look, Donovan Mitchell there. Look at this defense by Julius Randle. The one time
Julius did a good one right here. That was good.
But Julius was fine until the start of the third quarter, and then I don't know what happened.
I don't know. He was out before that, bro. I saw him mentally in the first half.
Really?
I had to tweet it out. And I'm very careful about tweeting out about Julius Randle because he has a lot of stands. But I had to see enough for me to say, all right, I got a right to him about that.
That's another tough shot, bro. Tough like, shot. That's just great defense.
He's going to make him work hard every single time, bro. Look at this. Look at that. Another tough shot. Another tough shot. Like, you
can see it in the body. He like, come on.
Like, come on. Like, I can't do this. Like, look, you go. RJ on him now. Great defense from RJ. You know what I'm saying? It's just not letting him
that's
get
that's a shot he could have knocked down on any other night.
On any other night, right. He's just not making his shots tonight. You put, look, Rico, look at these guys.
Good defense. That's a shot he would normally make.
Mm-hmm.
Who got that rebound?
See that? Josh Hart, of course. There you go. Speak Josh Hart again. That's a good shot right there. That's a good shot.
That's great defense, though.
Great. Exactly. Great defense. Josh Hart, man, he's so important to this team. Everything that he does on that floor is team related. Literally every single thing that he does on that floor. And, you know, I wish you could like play a tape of Josh Hart's just plays all game long and just for guys like RJ and Julius Randle. Like that's just, you know, I just want to see those guys hustle like that. I would love to see Julius and RJ hustle like Josh Hart. Could you freaking imagine what you would get out of them? Who else can we really talk about at tonight?
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Isaiah Hartenstein. I was gonna say Obi. Obi. Isaiah Hartenstein. Let's talk Isaiah Hartenstein first.
That boy seems like he turns up in the playoffs too. I feel like that's why we got him, or that's why the scouts got him.
He loves it. He loves playing here in New York. He's finally found his role. He only took one shot today, but.
He's making a difference everywhere else. It's incredible.
Yeah, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Like, you know what I mean? He got 5 fouls, but that doesn't mean anything to me. But for the simple fact that he's out there being out, you know what I'm saying? I love just watching him play. He gives effort more than anybody on the team outside of Josh Hart 90% of the time. And when they're on the floor together, bro, it's kind of like just, you know, poetry in motion. These guys just know how to be in the right spot. They hustle. They're not letting anyone get an easy basket. They're going to out-rebound you. And they're just setting the right example for a lot of these other guys. How about you guys? What y'all see from Hart today? Hartenstein today?
I just see hustle from him. It looks like he's in the right spots. Looks like he wants it. He wants to be there. I was looking at him and I'm like, this is why they got this dude. He just hustling. It's not like he's not putting up big numbers and stuff like that. You know what I mean? He got some nice rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
He was out there rebounding. He was out there fighting. It seemed like all those clutch rebounds, it seemed like he was there for it. I know that Julius was out.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked like he was grabbing everything. If it wasn't him, it was Hart. It just seemed like him and Hart was the people that I remember seeing grabbing a bunch of rebounds. And that's the way it matters. You gotta contribute. He wasn't a big scorer. He never really is. What?
You know what's crazy? I'm looking. He only had one offensive rebound. It seemed like he had so much more, man.
Yeah, he only had right. one out of 8 of his rebounds was offensive.
Somebody got to grab him on defense. It looked like he grabbed the most defensive rebounds.
I think he actually did have the most defensive rebounds. Yeah, he did.
He did, yep.
So we can't mention Isaiah Hartenstein, who was outstanding tonight. Like, or should I say today? Like, I don't know what more to even say about this dude, yo. Like, I told y'all I thought that Robinstein was the most important thing in this series. So far, like, they've dominated.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've dominated Mobley and Allen. And it's not even close. So, we got to talk about Mitchell Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, first of all, I got hella respect for Jared Allen. Jared Allen's an all-star. Jared Allen is probably a top five. Well, if you're an all-star, you're probably a top five center in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because centers are not guaranteed a spot anymore in the all-star game.
All-star game, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, tremendous respect for this dude. I think I went to a Nets game one time. And actually, when I went to the Knicks Nets game at the Garden, that was the day Kobe passed. This guy was out dumb early because I was there. I was there wild early. And he was out there on the court crazy early, shooting free throws, like super hard worker. You could tell just from where he was when he first came up on the scene in New Jersey to now. Anyways, or Brooklyn, New Jersey, whatever. That being said, Mitchell Robinson has dominated him in this series. Like, bro, and you look at Allen's numbers and you're like, oh, he played a good game. You know, in some ways he did. You know, 14.7 of 11 from the field. Only 4 rebounds, though, from your starting center. Like, he don't know what to do with Mitch, man. Is that Ben Wallace?
Somebody said Mitchell Robinson in the playoffs and he put a clip.
Oh, yo, bro, like dead ass though, bro.
It's funny that, you know, and I put this clip up because my man Jerome Herbin said this Knicks team reminds me of the 03 Detroit Pistons team, capable of beating teams with superstars. Don't say that to Knicks fans, bro.
But this is what we talked about, Cat. We talked about
that. I'm not gonna do that.
We picked, I'm not like, doing what it, I love bro. About this squad. What I love about the squad is it's like we won today without Julius. Right? We picked up the slack in the offseason when we didn't, in the regular season when we didn't have Brunson. Mm-hmm. Like they picked up good players, guys that play defense, guys that rebound. Like this Hart pickup was a game changer.
Right.
That was a bit. That's a big deal. That's a smart move by the front office. It seemed like from the offseason this year, the front office made a lot of moves. That Hartenstein move, that Josh Hart move.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Drafting these kids.
Yeah.
Like we did. And we won today without Grimes. I don't know. What happened to Grimes again? What was it? What he did?
Contusion. Yeah, I showed the contusion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He left like this. So, yeah. So, we doing that without this guy who's not guaranteed. Like, dudes are stepping up. And that's like, right. That's why the Detroit Pistons is one of my favorite championship teams because there was no stars over there. They all hustle. So if the Knicks can hustle, man, like this is like I love a team like that. I have a lot of no all this superstar stuff, but these dudes are hustlers. I love it.
Yeah,
seven offensive rebounds for Mitch today.
Mitch, yep.
And bro, I don't know if you noticed in that third quarter when things were like falling apart, like he had a couple of huge tip-ins and putbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Knicks had no offense going at all, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think Mitch had 6 points in that. I think Mitch had 6 points in the quarter. The Knicks only scored 19 in the quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Van Gundy said, he said he's the guy that's holding them together right now. He's the reason that they're still in the game.
He was the Knicks offense in that third quarter.
Yep. And that's very rare.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable stuff from Mitch, man.
He's starting to see how important he is to this squad. You know what I'm saying? And it's just it means a lot to a guy who's been questioned his whole career when you can like definitively say, I belong here. You know what I'm saying? And this is where I'm supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? I love what I'm seeing from Mitch.
Can I mention something real quick?
Go ahead.
I thought it was sweet. Like I thought it was cute last game. You know, I was at the bar that night, Friday night when we won that game. What was that, game 3? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And they put, we was whooping them so bad that they put Rose out there. I was like, that was kind of like, that was like nice to see. I was like, oh man, they give him roles because you know the crowd started asking for him.
Yeah, and all of that.
I thought that was cool.
They would know.
They took him out like what? 5 minutes left.
Yeah. Nah, it might have been like
two or three minutes.
Yeah, like 3 minutes left.
I think it was more like three.
Tibbs ain't about to play that bullshit.
Tibbs got to be sure.
No. But I mean, Cleveland took their stars out. Cleveland took them out early.
They took them out. They took theirs out early. They waved the white flag.
Yeah,
they waved the white flag early.
Right. I was like, wow.
Jose said Mitch, Obi, and Hartenstein all hustle for a ball going out of bounds today and saved them. It's the kind of guys you need in your squad, man. Hartenstein tips a lot of offensive rebounds. I don't think he gets credit for that.
No, you don't get credit for that.
That's a fact. Yeah. That is definitely a fact. He doesn't get credit.
You want to
only time
was,
you did
was Jay the drunk guy from last.
Yeah. I was out there. I was screaming.
Yeah, you want to know something though? When you look at the Knicks offense, isn't in a way like the Knicks offense? I don't know if it's on purpose or by accident. But the Knicks offense is kind of based on Mitchell Robinson's one elite skill. The Knicks offense is literally based around what this guy does on the offensive glass. Him and Hartenstein. 100%, bro. Like, the reason why we were number three in offense, we were number three in offense, but we were like one of the worst shooting teams in the NBA. The reason why we're number three in offense is because like I said, we won the possession battle. Every night we won the possession battle, bro. We got more bites at the apple.
And the only way you can have a lot of offensive rebounds is if you miss shots, technically, if you're really being honest. So, yeah, that's just how it works. Like, you can be a terrible shooting team and have a lot of second chance points because you got to miss shots in order to get those second chance points. You know what I'm saying? So, and this team, they can miss some damn shots, I'll tell you that.
Yes, they can. it's not pretty.
Flat Ray said, Grand is here for the Knicks negativity. I'm here with you, Cat. Let's go there. We should have never traded Kobe. Yo, listen. We going to work through your Knicks PTSD, bro. Yes, let's start there. Let's start with you there. We should have never traded Kobe, man.
You know what's crazy about Chris Copeland, though?
What?
Chris Copeland had a hell of a year for the Knicks.
Yo, Bo, my man was like freeze out the ass that year.
Yo, hell of a year for the Knicks. And then the Pacers signed him and they didn't play him. And I'm like, how can this guy, first of all, why'd y'all pay him all that money?
To sit him there. To take him away.
And secondly, like, I don't, like, this guy could play.
Right. That was just stupid. To me, it was just a waste of money. I think it was a dumb offensive move. You know, honestly, I think they probably saw something in him, and then once they got him in there, it was like, this is why the Knicks don't play him.
I was happy for him, though. I mean, he was a guy who
got the bag, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't in the league at all. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of walked on into, like, the summer league and made the team, and then he got paid, bro. Like, shout out to Chris Copeland, man.
Shout out to Chris Copeland.
Once a Nick, always a Nick.
Google him because I forget what he looked like.
You remember the guy that like the tall dude,
light skinned cat with the dreads,
the thick eyebrows, and the dreads that was shooting.
He used to come off the bench like Baby Mello.
Yeah. I remember. Wow, who brought that up? Because that shit was like,
You remember Alex Dre, my boy Alex?
Oh, Alex brought that up.
Yeah.
You know what? He kind of looked like Copeland. That's why he brought him up.
That was 2012. That was 12-13, right? That was Knicks tape.
Nah, that had to be during that time, yeah, because when he went to the Pacers, it was when we were still like kind of rivals with the Pacers at that point, which is why I feel like they did it. I feel like they did it just because we really wanted to bring Copeland back, and they were like, nah, we know we can get him. And then they got him and didn't play him, which I think was stupid because I think they just got him, though, because they had to spend the money. So it was like, why not? Like, we got to spend the money anyway. And I don't know if they had any other options at that point. Anyway.
So the two guys we got to talk about, and we can wrap this shit up, is Obi Toppin and the unbelievable 5 minutes, best five minutes ever, bro, of Mosby Brown, bro, because that boy came in like he was just shot out of a cannon on defense, yo, and then had the audacity to hit a three.
Yo, he defended the
hell Yes, he did.
Yo, the very first possession, he fucked up the very first possession. Yeah. He got a deflection. The ball got deflected back to half court, completely threw off that possession.
Yeah.
That possession was over for the Cavs after he did that. Mm-hmm. They end up taking a bad shot. And then, like, their very next play is when he locks up Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
And then I think he comes down and hits a three. And it's just like, yo.
Like, man. Like,
what am I watching?
That kid is – I just can't wait to see what he's like once he grows. Not physically, but, you know, grows into who he is as a player. And he has an actual – role on the team that's not just 10th man. You know what I'm saying? I feel like
you know what the swing skill is for him though, bro. Is can he hit open threes?
Hit the three, yeah.
If he can hit open threes, I don't know if it's the Knicks, but I think he could be in somebody's rotation.
I mean, if you look at what he does, if he can hit the open three, I mean, that's kind of like a Marcus Smart style player, and that's kind of what you want. Anybody wants a guy who can defend whoever the hell is in front of them and then knock down the open shot, who, you know, because you can't leave that guy open. Usually the defender is like a guy who can't shoot, usually.
Yeah.
But when McBride's out there and he's actually knocking these threes down, man, like
unbelievable impact, bro.
Yeah, his impact is just crazy. Jose says, why'd he take him out?
Tibbs got what he wanted from him.
He got what he wanted. Yeah, I think it's about, you know, he got what he needed at that point and, you know, got him. Because he didn't put him in because he wanted McBride. I'm sure he put him in because someone needed a breather. And at that point, he put him right back in. I think, who was it that was playing? I think it was Garland at one point during this game. Who, they sat him for like 2 minutes. And it was like, yo, get right back in the game. It might have even been a minute and a half. Like, they just didn't want to go away from having him on the court for that long. They just wanted him to get a breather. You know what I'm saying? But that's why you got guys like McBride out there. Because you got to have one of those guys who could just guard whoever. Just for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might just need him to do it for 5 minutes. And that's just the impact you need. Because, you know, these guys can get hot like that. And if you can get, you put a little McBride on for 5 minutes and stop that from happening, I don't see why not.
I don't think it's for contractual reasons, Jose. I'm not even sure.
I think it's just a better guy on the floor. It's better.
So
guy
hold on. Yeah. So hold on. Let me. So he's a second round pick. Do they have him for another year? His second rounders get what? They get 2 plus 1s, right?
I think so.
So his plus one would be next year.
I got to look it up again.
Because this is year two for him.
This is year two. I think he stays regardless, especially if Grimes is still here. That's like his best friend. I don't see him going anywhere.
It's up to the Knicks.
That's up to the Knicks, but I think in this role, there's no reason for them to go away from McBride.
But it also begs the question, like, so they're going to have to make a decision on Obi. Right, quickly must get paid. Must get paid. Mm-hmm. McBride is gonna probably be up, I'm assuming, next year for a contract. Like, what do you do with all these guys? You just sign everybody?
What do you think quickly gonna get though?
Upwards of $20 million a year.
Even close to what RJ's getting.
Yeah, it's gonna be big. It's gonna be a lot.
I can't wait, and I also can't wait.
Dre. That
kind of makes it easier for RJ.
Dre, the total might start with a one.
It might just be literally 100 flat. It might be
100. Yeah, the total might start with a one. Only because probably 4 years. 5 years. I mean, I would imagine. Four or five years, yeah.
I see 4 years.
I say 5. Because now you're paying them with the starters. You're paying the starters. I guess it's kind of like, I don't know.
If there's one team that I know doesn't give a damn about going over the salary in this, I mean, the cap this year, it's probably.
Yeah, James Dolan don't give a shit about
James
that.
James doesn't give a damn about that. He'll be fine.
If the team is winning, James will bleed money.
He'll find some money somewhere in his back pocket somewhere to just make sure everybody's fine. He'll make it work. But
Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin. Just to get it up here one more time, get some numbers up here. Obi Toppin tonight, 2 for 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line, 8 rebounds.
5 offensive.
It's 5 offensive. When have we ever seen 8 rebounds from Obi Toppin? I mean, he's gotten more before. Clearly, he's had a double-double before. But 8 rebounds in a playoff game for Obi Toppin versus those guys?
Versus those guys.
That means a lot to me. That means a whole lot. Just energy. There was a play he made.
I started laughing. That's why I'm laughing already, because I knew you were going here.
Bro. It's like, where is this guy at? 82 games. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the play was a mess, if we're being honest.
The entire play was a mess. I don't know how he still had the ball by the time he scored.
Well, he was trying to get it to a guard, but like Cleveland, you know how we talked about how Cleveland plays, though. They overplay everything up top, bro. So he's trying to get it to a guard, and they're just overplaying, jumping passing lane, jumping handoffs. Mm-hmm. So Obi is just like, the hell?
He's a fuck. I'm going
to go to basketball. Yeah, I thought he was going to dunk on Allen for a minute. Yeah?
I really thought he was going to dunk on Allen, but he finished. Word. He finished strong, and I'm just glad. I'm glad the play ended well, because I felt like
he had the ball forever, bro.
He had the ball for like 18 seconds.
So he grabbed the offensive rebound, right? So the clock resets to 14. And he made that play out of desperation. Like, the clock was running down.
Right, yeah.
He had the ball for at least 12 seconds, bro. Just dribbling around. And as me, I'm watching, I'm like, looking like, what is he going to do? It was just a mess, bro. And it turned into something beautiful. I'm happy.
Oh,
but it was shaky, bro. It was shaky.
And CIA has arrived.
Oh man, here we go.
Julius Randle better get that Under Armour G string out his ass.
Yeah, do you have that play from Obi? Can you run that?
I can run it real quick. I can run it real quick before we get out of here.
Bro, he just had it forever.
let me see. Is this the play?
I mean, he only had 2 field goals.
Yeah, he made 1 3 and then he made the other one. Oh, it's this play right here. Okay, hold on.
That 3 was deep too, bro.
He hit a deep ass 3. I was like, oh, Obi. And that was the pass from, all right, so here it is. So this was one of the ugliest plays I watched.
So there's 11 on the clock as we speak, right? He grabbed that rebound. That was his rebound.
Yeah, he grabbed the rebound.
So he's already been dribbling for 4 seconds.
Right. And he's like,
but he turned it into something good. I remember that one.
Like, I don't know. He grabbed the board and ran around.
He grabbed the rebound.
He ran all the way around this way.
Couldn't
get to Josh Hart.
He had nobody to pass it to.
He tried to get it to Brunson here. He couldn't get it to Brunson because Darius Garland played good defense there. Because by the time he turned around and realized he could have passed it to Brunson, Garland's right there. And then he's like, all right, well, I just got to keep going. Another broken play. And who's guarding him?
Mitchell? That's Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell. Now, Donovan Mitchell already scares me on defense because he's very, very shaky. Like, I don't know. It's not an effort thing. He really tries. He really tries hard. He's just not.
I feel like he should be better, though, right?
Really, really good defensively. I don't know why.
I don't understand.
I don't know why he's not.
I don't get it, bro.
Look, he kind of just... Obi is not faster than him. It's footwork. If he can get his feet here...
Yeah, but he wasn't... I don't think he was expecting that, though. I think he was like, oh...
He wasn't. And then he expected, if anything, he probably expected Jared Allen to
contend. It's like Clyde. It's like Clyde says all the time. You can't relax.
You can't relax. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like it's, and then Obi just finishes over both of them, and that's just. If we can get plays like this out of Obi more often.
But we were scared, though.
We were scared. We were scared that play.
What was score? Did you see what the score was?
At that moment, it turned from 84-79 to 86-79. We were up by five.
Okay. So that was a big play.
Huge play. Huge play.
God forbid the Cavs come down and hit a three, cut it to two.
Changes things. What,
yeah, it changes things big time.
Changes things a lot. RJ might have came home blood. I don't know what RJ did, but he woke up.
He heard everybody. Yeah. You know what RJ is? He's the type of dude that's not really on social media like that, but he hears all the noise. You better believe it.
He hears a lot of noise, and I'm sure he was watching a whole lot of a lot of guys talk bad about RJ, and he just will have to keep it up. What happens, Dre?
How you doing that? RJ is inconsistent. I feel like that we all could agree.
Oh, yeah, if I had a dollar for how many times Dre said that.
Yeah, listen, Dre, you know, I'm just making sure you fall into the trap. That's it.
Yo, bro, I had that drilled in my head. Like, RJ is just inconsistent.
We know
he is, bro. We're happy he had the game he had tonight, today.
And last game.
I'm super happy. Yeah, he did.
I don't know if he was I don't know if he was a scoring champ in college, but he was the college player of the year.
Who, RJ?
Obi Toppin.
Oh, Obi, yes. Oh, yeah. Was Obi scoring champ? Nah, I think he's definitely college player of the year. He wasn't scoring champ. Was he scoring champ?
He might have been. I'm just not sure.
Hold on. What year was that? NCAA scoring champ. What year was that? That was 2000. It was 3 years ago.
2019.
2019. Let's see. Scoring champ was. Okay, this is definitely not giving me the answer that I thought I was going to get. Hold on, give me 2 seconds. Leader NCAA. Okay, it was Carson Edwards of Purdue. That's 2019. Is that the same year as Obi Toppin?
I want to say it was.
I feel like it is. Obi Toppin was drafted.
He's been with the Knicks this first season, right?
2020, my bad. So that was...
You got to go forward another year.
Forward another year. And the leader was... Okay. Come on. Why can't... Why are you giving me everything but 2020? Like, what's going on here? All right, men's college basketball leaders 2020 season. Let's see. Leaders. Points. Who is Marcus Howard.
That was dude from
Marquette.
He was a point. Yeah, Marquette. He was a bad man, bro.
Yeah. So it wasn't Obi. So it had to be. I think he was the player of the year.
Yeah, he was college player of the year though. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's college player of the year. Jose says we needed RJ game the way Julius Randle was playing. I mean, hopefully Julius Randle can wake up. I don't know. He's scaring me, bro. He's really scaring me. He hasn't had a good game yet, like full put together game. Julius Randle has not done it yet in the Knicks uniform.
He gave us one heroic half.
It was one half, and that was in the first game.
First game.
That was it.
It was a very necessary half.
Yeah, we needed it.
And like we probably either lose that game or we probably lose that game without that half. Like that half was that big.
Yeah. Huge half, especially being home, away.
And Brunson out in foul trouble. Only played 9 minutes in that first half.
Yeah. CIA says, Obi needs to hit Randall with that tank body shot. Clean that starting spot. Ooh. Did you guys see the fight?
I seen it. I seen it.
I was looking for it on my Fire Stick, and it was like, I was like, where's the Showtime joint, man? Yo, y'all was so tight.
Never hit me. I always got the late fees, man. Come on.
Oh, man, I should have. I know.
You know, anytime you need the game, anything, I got the link for you, Drake. Come on, stop.
Right. I should have, man, because I was like, I was looking for, yo, and how he handled them.
But if you watch boxing, you knew
he was going to win. That. I mean,
yeah. Ryan Garcia, come
Ryan
on.
Ryan Garcia is, he's
good fighter, but.
To be honest, Ryan Garcia, he's 24. I think in a few years, he'll be a good fighter. Don't get me wrong.
Nah, he's a good fighter now, but. Sometimes
he'll be a great fighter in a few years, is what I mean. I think
sometimes a good fighter meets a tough guy.
I think this is premature for him. He should not have fought Tank. I think he's way above what he was looking for.
You want to know what I think?
What?
I think that he lost his fight before it even started. I don't think he wanted this fight. I think he wanted the money. But I don't think he wanted. I'm telling you, bro. He didn't want. He ain't want no part of this fight, yo. He ain't want no part of this fight.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. And I say that,
bro.
I think,
bro, bowed out ASAP, bro. He did not belong in there.
No. I'm not gonna lie. That's a hit.
Oh no, it's debilitating.
Yeah, I've seen it happen before, and it happened. Yeah. Ironically.
Your body shuts down, bro.
It happened to the guy who he had,
Oscar De La Hoya,
in his corner, right?
Against Bernard Hopkins,
who's also in his corner, right?
Yo, guess what, bro? I'm a big fight fan too. Yeah, in case y'all wondering,
You know way more about boxing than I do. I'm just not getting back into it. I'm just.
Yo,
not getting
let
back
me tell you, bro. I don't think that kid really wanted that fight. I think that he got pressured into that fight.
Yo, CIA is crazy. He said Ryan a pretty fighter. He ain't never had to box no crackhead in the show. That's a like I said Tank.
Yeah.
Tank is a hood fighter that you put in a ring and train. That's something that's very scary. That's very, very scary, bro.
Yo, bro.
He ain't seen shit he was scared of.
It's like I said, bro. Sometimes a really good fighter fights a really tough guy, bro.
Jose.
I remember when Adrian Broner?
Yes.
Adrian Broner was beating the brakes off of everybody. And then he fought a tough guy. He fought Marcos Maidana.
And put him outside the ring.
Bro, it got ugly.
He put him outside the ring.
Yeah, it got ugly immediately too.
Yo, immediately.
Like the first round, it was like, oh, this guy is too tough for him. Mm-hmm. Not too skilled, because Maidana wasn't skilled at all. This guy is just too rough and rugged, bro.
He's too strong. Yeah.
Ryan didn't belong in that ring with Tank.
No, it was funny because I was watching it, and we're gonna get out of here after this.
Because this has turned into something else.
Yeah. Clearly, the Cavaliers were not a formidable opponent to us tonight because we're talking about boxing. But I'm watching it and just immediately you saw what Jose said. Jose's crazy, yeah. I'm watching it and immediately, just like Mayweather, he takes his time. He's not gonna attack you the first round. He's gonna let you, he's like, all right. He almost notoriously takes an L in the first round. Because he's that confident in his ability, he's going to like, all right, let me just see what you're throwing at me.
Hope.
You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what he did last night. He waited, and then Ryan had a few flurries. We went out there and was just throwing a whole lot of punches. And I'm like, I said, Ryan, chill your ass out. Like, this is not going to end well for you. He did another one of those flurries, and then ding, 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 first round. Second round came out, and you could tell, like, Tank had it in his eyes. He's like, all right, I'm about to hit this mark real good. I'm waiting till he throw another one of those flurries. And he came in, and he threw a hook. He ducked it right out. Bing. And, I mean, the glove hit him perfectly square right in his face, bro. Like, it was, like, perfect. The perfect hit. And that was almost like, yo, after that hit, it was a different fight, completely different fight. It was the second round. It was only the second round, and it was a completely different fight already.
Yeah, it was over.
it was over from that hit because he dropped them, and after he dropped them, Ryan was not aggressive anymore. Like, it stopped. Like, the aggressiveness was gone. Like, he just...
Yeah.
Everything was all right. Now I'm hesitating before I throw a punch. Every time he threw, he hesitated. And I said,
oh, he felt that power.
He felt, yeah. And that was the thing. That was,
and he ain't like it.
That's what it was. The power.
Jose Garcia,
power behind that punch, bro.
Jose Garcia Cotto was one of my favorites too. And yes, I agree with you. Margarito definitely, that fight had a negative impact on his career. That cheating bastard. Yo, that dude. That fight, Cotto left something in the ring that night. Like, he left a part of him in the ring. He was never the same fighter after that fight. Mm. So, yeah, I agree with you, and I feel the same way. Like, it makes me angry. To this day, it makes me angry.
Yeah.
That cheating bastard did that to one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was bad. See, I says, not gonna lie, that first left hand that dropped Ryan would have knocked out most cats. That liver shot made him doo-doo. Like, dead ass, though. Like, it was bad. Like, Dre, I don't know if you got to see the hit. Did you get to see the shot?
I'm looking at it now. And like when you said he took that knee, we caught him real good. That first one in the face,
yo,
we caught him flat on the nose, bro.
Square on the nose. That was the most perfect hit. And it was power behind that hit.
Yo, he didn't finish throwing it. He caught him like right in the middle.
Yeah,
you know like, what that punch? You know what that punch looked like? That punch looked like when Juan Manuel Marquez knocked out Manny Pacquiao. Like, he punched Manny Pacquiao. Yeah. He literally punched Pacquiao dead in the middle of his face.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Perfectly. He landed.
Yo, Manny literally ducked into the punch, though. It like he, like...
yeah, and then
it looked like he dove into his fist, bro.
And then he became a meme. He was all over the place, bro.
And his wife, I think his wife thought he died, yo. The way she reacted.
Bro.
She was not okay, bro.
A lot of people thought he died. That hit was bad.
Yeah, he got hit. He got hit hard.
That hit was bad, bro. That was a bad hit. But anyway, that hit last night, that first hit, he dropped him, and you see it in his eyes. It was almost like Ryan had to like raise his eyebrow, like, oh shit, like that was a hard ass hit. You know what I'm saying? And then
is that what it feels like?
That's what it feels like. Like, and
I don't think I want that again.
And then that left that he hit him with, that left to the liver. I don't know, bro, but you can tell when he hit him, he jumped back right away because it was like, oh shit! And then he tried to take a deep breath, and that was it. He just had to drop, like that was it. He had nothing left in him, bro. He had no air left, and
he caught him right in the rib. He caught him right in the rib for that second.
He caught him right there. He caught him right there and emptied.
And you see it. He still tried to go like this. He said.
He said,
took that knee. Yeah. He was like
he couldn't even breathe.
Chill.
He couldn't breathe.
And he wasn't getting up. Bro. Ref was in his face like this.
See, but Tank said prior to that fight, he said, I seen him get dropped before by a body punch. And he said, really? He said, who dropped him? He said, it wasn't a fight. It wasn't a real fight. It was, you know, it was... I think it was like a spar, and someone hit him with a body shot.
Oh,
and and then he was like,
he watched that.
He knew automatically. He knew before the fight even started. He said, "I'm gonna drop you. I know. I'm going to knock the air out of you, bro." He knew it.
That's interesting.
He knew it from before. I think he might have had
those body shots. Is no joke. I was having them little early fights, I got hit in the stomach one time. I was like.
That just made me think of some funny.
Yo, see, yeah, I used to that.
Stomach blow. You get hit in the ribs.
He said that liver shot. Was
facts. Facts.
Factory reset. For real. The whole shit, bro.
For real.
He said, tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air.
Yo, it's time to go, yo.
Yeah, he said. I thought Van Gundy was gonna jump on Tank after that leg. Tank leg after that punch. Yeah. Yo, oh my god. Nah, I'm out of here. You gotta
go. Oh man, this is devolving into madness.
this is crazy. Nah.
Yeah, cat.
That was it. That's it. Listen, Knicks win tonight. We take care of business. 102-93. we got to go finish business. Whether we're, if we can win one more on the road, I mean, that's it. That's game. That's really we all gotta we got to do.
Let's end this in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. As a New York sports fan who watched the Yankees in 2004 blow a 3-0 lead, that still sits with me to this day. Let's not mess around with these guys. Let's get these guys out of here on Wednesday, man. Like,
please.
Let's get them out of here.
Let's not play with this team. We've seen how they play when they feel motivated.
And desperate.
And desperate.
Especially at home.
Yeah. If Julius Randle plays more of the same basketball, we might be in trouble. But we've been figuring it out somehow.
And to be fair, the Cavs have not adjusted to the guard-on-guard screen yet. So
true.
If they can't figure that out, they're in big trouble.
They're in big trouble. And that's,
if they can't figure it out, they can't win the series. Yeah, period.
Yeah, yeah. They shouldn't. If they don't figure that out that fast in the next two quarters, they have two quarters to figure it out. That's it. If they don't figure it out in the next two quarters, it's they can pack it up, and that's it.
You know what I'm about to watch tonight? I don't know if I'm going to watch it as soon as we get off, but late tonight, because I'll be up late. I'm going to watch the Chase Down, because that's the Cavaliers official podcast.
The LeBron Chase Down?
I want to hear what – I think that's why they named it the Chase Down, because of LeBron. But I'm a watch that because I'm interested to hear what these guys are saying about the Knicks.
Yeah,
what's the Chase Down? What's that?
That's the Cavs podcast.
Yeah, you could search it on YouTube. It'll pop up.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all. If y'all here in the chat, please do us a favor. Hit us with a like. Hit us with a subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you're listening to podcast form, drop us a review and a 5-star. Just let us know how y'all feeling. You know what I mean? Tell us how you feeling and all that. But you guys got any final words before we get about it?
Nah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm hungry. It's way past the time I like to eat.
It's time to go. It's about that time. And yeah, listen, thank y'all for tuning in once again to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with my boy, Regular Joe, here with the big bro, Andre Jalil. Shout out to the cuzzo, Rick the Ruler, who is here in spirit right now. Y'all have a good one. And until next time, peace and love.
Peace.
Orange and blue skies.
Yes, sir.
That's it.